Well, good morning. It is a Thursday, and that means it is time for Perspectives on WFSU-FM. Thanks so much for tuning in our direction on the air. And if you'd like to take part telephonically or via email or the many other high-tech ways we have of reaching each other, reaching out and touching each other, 414-1234 is the local phone number. It's 800-926-8809. If long distance twixt you and us, perspectives@wfsu.org is the email. And if you want to tweet us, it's at WFSU Perspectives. One of the programs that has really been of invaluable significance to young people who have to deal with the judicial system is the Guardian Ad Litem program. Now, we're not talking young offenders. We are talking kids who were caught up in such things as custody disputes and foster care situations and those sorts of things where, let's face it, even if you are a sophisticated and a savvy grown-up, you get tangled up in one of those judicial processes and you're going to be totally at sea and perhaps a bit fearful and trepidatious because who knows what the heck's going to happen. Now, put yourself in the position of a 6, 7, 8-year-old child who has to undergo that same kind of thing. And that gives you some appreciation for how important it is to have a good old grown-up who is on your side and is going to help walk you through all this and be right with you through all of those entanglements. So that's what we're going to talk about today, and we hope you can be part of the conversation too. Let's meet our panel. We go around here. Let's see, from my right to your left as you're looking at the radio. And we say hi first to Christine Lamont, Chair of Cupcakes and Cookies for Kids Fundraiser coming up on Saturday, April 16th, which is one of the many ways we have of helping out the Guardian Ad Litem program. And thanks for helping put this together, Christine.
You're welcome. Good morning.
Good morning to you. Right next door to you is Omega Wynn, president of Child Advocates 2, which is what, Omega? That's the prime support organization for the Guardian Ad Litem program?
Yes, sir, it is. We work hand in hand for the nonprofit part of the organization to raise funds for the children and everything we can do to help support the overall Guardian Ad Litem program through nonprofit charities.
Okay. We'll find out more how that works as we go through the day. And welcome. Good to have you on
deck
here. And we say hi again to a very dear old friend of ours, Deborah Moore, Circuit Director of the Guardian Ad Litem program for the Second Judicial Circuit, which, of course, includes Franklin, Jefferson, Leon, Liberty, and Wakulla counties. Hi, Deborah.
Hi. So glad to be here again. Thank you so much for your support, your ongoing support. I really appreciate that. And I am the director of the Guardian Ad Litem program here. I've been with Guardian Ad Litem almost 18 years.
Oh, my gosh. The program itself in Florida goes back how many years?
Yeah, we just celebrated our 35th anniversary a while back. And so we've been in the state of Florida for some time and doing lots of great things.
Well, so many folks, they think of children in the judicial process, and I know it goes back to the Department of Juvenile Justice and young offenders and all that kind of thing, but there are far more children, I would imagine, who have to deal with the judicial system in a non-criminal or offensive kind of way, and that's where the program comes in, right?
Right. That's right. And so our mission is to advocate for abused and neglected children who their families have become part of the dependency court process. So that's the court that's dealing with those issues of abuse and neglect. And the judges appoint us when that case first comes into the system. And we are there just to look at what is in the child's best interest and to stand up for those interests and make sure their needs are met.
Now, that leads us to the question, too, since we know about the ongoing, just coming off of a legislative session, that the budgetary issues are always paramount when it comes to any kind of service provision, whether it's an ongoing state agency or something like at the circuit court level and all that. Do you guys get all the money you need from state government, or do you have to kind of supplement that?
Well, we did well this year. You know, I know you and I talked about that we want to share with the listeners about the Child's Best Hope Act, and we're very proud of that. But we also did receive some funding that we needed to ensure that we continue to work towards that 100% of representation all over the state, that every child that comes into the system has the benefit of a wonderful advocate in their lives through this difficult time. So we were able to receive some funding so that we could add positions for ensuring that we could be closer to that 100% of the children who are placed in out-of-home care, meaning they're going in to placements with relatives or in foster homes in particular, and that we are able to be added on to cases. The judge can appoint us to cases when children are still in the home, and the Department of Children and Families and everyone is trying to work very closely with those families to ensure that those issues can be remedied and they don't have to be removed from their home, especially the very, very young children, the 0 to 3. That's been a big focus, and we received the support for the funding that we requested so that we can ensure that we have our staff and advocates part of those family situations while they're still in the home.
But given the way that these situations evolve and suddenly emerge, you can at any time have additional need for resources that you may not have immediately available through the budgetary process. I have a feeling that's where Megan Wynn and his guys come in, right?
Absolutely. Yes. I don't know what we would do without child advocates too, and they've been a huge supporter for many, many years. And you're right. There are some of those things that we feel like our children need and deserve, and those monies that are raised by child advocates too, we can make sure that those needs are met through that funding that's there for us, just our Guardian Ad Litem program.
Omega, talk about how you folks partner with the private sector and all of that to try to amass more resources here for Guardian Ad Litem.
Well, Tom, I'll start off with the fact that I am an employee for Starbucks, and I work on the we are a huge community supporter. When I was introduced to the Guardian Ad Litem program, my lack of knowledge was just a concern. And as Deborah and I continued to meet and have a conversation about what the Guardian Ad Litem meant and what it did and how it affected our communities, our children around the state and in our counties surrounding Leon, I just had to be a part of it. And to work for a company that advocates for us being advocates for the Guardian Ad Litem was such a big win. And as I got to learn more and to put my eyes on it, it became more and more part of me where I could help provide means for children who did not have or had very little. And as you see it, it becomes a part of you, and you just can't do nothing but try to make a difference. And like I said, working for a company that continues to advocate for getting out into communities and being a part of it, it was just a big win-win for me. So, and being my last name is Wynn, right? So we got a three-win going there. But I definitely enjoyed it. I've been a part of the program for about 7 or 8 years, and recently became the board president, and continue to drive and strive to continue to make our board better and stronger, and continue to build funds that can provide for the children, because they are in need. And there's a lot of things that out there you just don't know what you don't know.
How does an organization, a company like Starbucks on the local level, support Guardian Ad Litem through, what, special promotions, you know, buy a macchiato, get one, you know, donated to the program, or how does that
No,
work?
I'll tell you what we do, it's a little different than providing from the funds from behind the counter. We provide a lot of information about helping to get the word out. We continue to use our community boards, our community communication about sharing the knowledge about what Guardian Ad Litem is. So from that perspective, and myself throughout, you know, not more than just Leon County, when I go to meetings across the state, I share the information, what we're doing in Tallahassee to try to add and make a difference with the children in the surrounding counties here. So not only just in our neck of the woods, but trying to make a difference across the state by helping get the word out about Gardner-Eliot.
We'll talk a little bit more in a bit about how maybe some other businesses that are looking for a very worthy cause to get involved with might be able to partner in through that situation. But you got specific events, too. And Christine Lamont, that's where you come in here. Cupcakes, cookies, what could be better, huh?
That's true. We have coming up April 16th, we have our third annual Cupcakes and Cookies for Kids, which is a fun baking competition where children, you know, K through 12 children can enter, or adults, both professional and amateur. They can enter some homemade cupcakes or cookies into, like, say, what's a friendly competition. We have, luckily this year, again, we have Joey Gans and Keith Baxter coming back to judge. Judging is all behind the scenes, so no one has to get anxious. This is not some kind of Food Network chopped show. But it's a good way to raise money. We have people can get information about the program, but you can come in. You can. We have lively culinary programs. Students, they're entering again for the third year, which is really great. Those they're going to be good chefs when they get out of that program. They're very supportive. We have Child's Culinary Program. We've had actually, the girl who won last year is coming back again this year, trying for two wins, and some of her classmates and kids. But it's a good chance, actually, for parents who have children who like to cook, like to bake, to be their child's sous chef and enter in. So it's a good sharing opportunity in that sense. Last year, we had a young man from middle school who liked to bake with his grandmother. And he submitted some delicious cupcakes. But, it's a fun way, friendly way to come together. People can purchase tasting cards. They can enter the competition. They can sponsor. If your Bridge Club wants to sponsor, you can be a sponsor of this program. Or you can just show up. Entry to the event is free. But if you want to taste things, then you purchase a tasting card either through online or at the door.
Okay, and that'll be coming up Saturday, April 16th?
Yes, at the DOT Auditorium over near Cascades Park. I think it's 605 Swanee Street.
Yeah, but it's right there on the entrance to Cascades Park with plenty of parking around there. And also the weekend of the Chain of Parks Art
Festival.
That's
correct, right. So we're hoping people might go out and support Lemoyne by going through that event and enjoying that day. And then come on over and sample some cupcakes and cookies. Take them home, because we do have boxes where you can, you know, take them home.
You want to
and enjoy them for dinner.
That's right. Maintain a healthy blood sugar level at all times. That's what I say.
Uh-huh.
414-1234 as we continue our chat about the Guardian Ad Litem program for Florida's 2nd Judicial Circuit here on Perspectives with who you just heard from, Christine Lamont, who's chair of Cupcakes and Cookies for Kids Fundraiser, Mega Wynn, president of Child Advocates 2, and Deborah Moore, circuit director of the Guardian Ad Litem program for the 2nd Judicial Circuit, which covers all those counties here in North Florida. Your calls and emails, too, when Perspectives rolls on. Guardian Ad Litem program in the 2nd Judicial Circuit, which includes Franklin, Jefferson, Leon, Liberty, and Wakulla counties, and what it does to help neglected and abused young folks when they have dealings with the judicial system. And let's go back to Deborah Moore, who is the circuit director, and talk a little bit about just how the program works. We say neglected and abused kids, so is it a referral from, like, Department of Children and Families or local law enforcement? How does that work, Deborah?
The process starts where the Department of Children and Families does get involved. We are separate from them, but we do work collaboratively with them on each of the cases that we're involved with. But typically there is an abuse report, and then the department goes out and does an assessment and evaluation. Sometimes the children remain in the home. Sometimes they are removed. And the judges on the cases, when it comes to court, they will appoint the guardian ad litem program. So our program receives the case, and the child immediately benefits from an assignment of one of our attorneys and one of our child advocacy managers. And then the third member of the team are our wonderful guardian ad litem advocates. So we, once we receive the case and we assess what the situation is, then we reach out to one of our 320 guardian ad litem volunteers, and each of the guardians pretty typically just have one case, and that's one of the best parts for the child, is that typically they are the children and the only case that they're assigned to, so they get a lot of quality attention from the guardian ad litem advocate. So the three members of the team are the attorney, the child advocacy manager, and the volunteer, and all three maintain on that case until the court process is completed. So they work together. Each of has their own responsibilities and their role, and it works beautifully together so that they all, whether we're out in the community at meetings on behalf of the child or we're in court, we're speaking up for what we feel like is in the child's best interest. And that's an educated recommendation that's made because the guardian is speaking with their teachers on a regular basis. They're speaking with their caregivers, with the DCF case managers, have a overall rounded view of what the issues are for that child and what the needs are. And bottom line is we're trying to make it better for that child while they're going through this very difficult time. That's really our job, is making it better however we can. We are searching and doing some active recruitment in the Wakulla County area and the Franklin County area. We would like to build up our resources of volunteers in those two communities so that any time a child comes into the court system in the Crawfordville area, in the Apalachicola, Sopchoppy area, that we can immediately put a guardian ad litem on that case, and we can all get very busy on making sure we're doing everything we can every day. So we have a training. We've decided to have a training in Sopchoppy so that it's kind of halfway for the individuals in Franklin and in Wakulla, and that's coming up in May. So we appreciate the opportunity to get the word out to listeners that are in those communities or that know someone in those communities. We're going to make it very convenient for them to be right there in Sopchoppy in May to do the training and help them prepare for this great volunteer opportunity. We're also looking for more retired individuals. I want to give a shout out to the Division of Retirement because they've recently talked with us about adding some information on their website and in their newsletter to help get that out to all of the retirees, the Florida retirees. And so that's been very exciting to have that help and support. We'd like to recruit more attorneys. Attorneys can do pro bono work with us, and they serve as a guardian ad litem advocate. They don't serve as an attorney with us. But we have so many wonderful attorneys who have joined us in doing pro bono work, but we would love to add more. We're doing some active recruitment with the state agencies because, state employees can still benefit from the administrative leave through the Florida Mentoring Partnership. That's still very active, and state employees are eligible for that administrative leave volunteering with us. So that's a great win-win for all state employees. But we're going around and making the rounds at all the state agencies to help get the word out that we would love to have them join us as a guardian ad litem advocate. One more thing, I wanted to just thank child advocates too again. And our passion and our commitment is there every day. We just leave every day feeling like that we wish we had more hours in the day because there is so much that we can do and so much that we accomplish for our children. But I think you've probably noticed that Omega is wearing a bracelet, a guardian ad litem bracelet. And that's just one way that he helps us try to get the word out. And I know that he's proud of being associated with us, and it means so much to all the staff and to me that we have good people like Christine and Omega. And I also brought you a bracelet. It says Guardian Ad Litem on it, and it says, I am for the child, and that pretty much says it, that we are all for the child and making things better for them. So I wanted to share that with you.
I will wear it with pride. Thank you. Thank you very much, Debbie.
We also talked about me sharing some new community supporters for us in this past year since we've been on before. And I'm so very proud of being associated with Killarney United Methodist Church. They have a program they've developed just for us called Sweet Dreams. And we had some trouble over the past years of ensuring that when children go to relatives or non-relatives and they're placed out of their home, many times those caregivers aren't prepared with enough beds for those children coming in. Sometimes siblings of four and five are coming into one home and they need more beds. And we've really struggled with how to make that happen. And they stepped up and they developed this program for us. Their iServe program of volunteers, they pick up brand new beds that they fund through Killarney United Methodist Church and deliver them to the families. And those children have a bed while they're in that home. And it has just been amazing. And they provide the linens, the bed, the pillows and the comforters, and it's just been a great partnership for over the past 2 years. They've stayed strong with us, ensuring, and I think we're up to at least 50, 55 beds just in the past year, I guess, that we've been working with them. So it's incredible. And the Big Bend Minority Chamber of Commerce, we're a member now, and we're very pleased to have that association with them and looking forward to a strong partnership with them. Network of Young Professionals. They just had a big event with us to help get the word out to their 80 or 100 members. And so we're excited about having their support for our child advocates, too, and hopefully to recruit some of their members. So thank you so much for that time to thank them and give them a welcome pat on the back, a well-deserved pat on the back, I guess I should say, for stepping up and believing in what we do and wanting to make it better for our children.
Thank you for mentioning those folks, Deborah, because I'm sure that might engender some additional interest on the part of whether it's faith communities mm-hmm. or other businesses or whatever. Mm-hmm. And we'll let you give another plug here in a second, Omega. Let's go to the phones real quick, though. Reed is waiting on line one. Hi, Reed. Welcome to Perspectives. Good to hear from you.
How you doing, Tom?
Oh, couldn't be doing better, son. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I remember the days when Guardian Ad Litem was hanging on by a thread, budgetarily speaking, and the fact that they've bounced back in pretty fine fashion is a great testament, I think, to the dedication of the people that you've got right there. I was listening to your panelists discussing all the various layers of bureaucracy and people and the courts and the DCF and everything. And, of course, sometimes the kids, you know, they risk getting lost in the shuffle. There has to be at some point some disagreement on what is the best approach between all these various people. How do those problems get resolved?
Oh, what a great question. As a matter of fact, Reed, I think that was, as I recall from this legislative session just passed, there were a number of committees that wrestled with that exact same question.
Right.
What should be the determining factor? Deborah, how did all that fall out?
Well, I know we'd all like to work in a system where there isn't a conflict, but there is conflict from time to time. There's disagreements on what the outcomes should be in situations. And we are either dealing with conflict in various meetings that we have or in the courts. And there are many people involved in making those determinations. We're a party in the cases, and so our recommendations are taken separately by the judge, and the judge listens to all of the different opinions or not opinions but recommendations. So there are times where we are feeling that the direction of the case should go one way or that the child should receive various different services, and there may be disagreements about that, but we push those forward because that's what we feel like is the child's best interest, and that's what we would like to see happen, and that ultimately the judge makes those decisions. We are in meetings frequently throughout the week where there are many people around the table, and sometimes we're in full agreement, and then sometimes there are just differences that are presented. And what we feel like is important is that we're able to base those on the information that we've gathered and have that substance, that support for why we feel like that's best. So it can be challenging at times to go through those times, but that's part of why we're here, so that we have the Department of Children and Families who have attorneys that represent their position, and then we have the parents' attorneys who represent their position, and then we have our position based on just what we feel like is best just for the child. And going forward. And so we get through those, and we all are very respectful and supportive of each other, that even if we are in disagreement, that we're doing what we feel like is best.
Mm-hmm. I can hear what Reed was saying, though, as far as, you know, in the ultimate scheme of things, you have a little kid who is already got a couple strikes against him or her and has been traumatized, Lord knows how badly, neglected, abused, all these other things. Mm-hmm. And then they're stuck in the middle of this judicial food fight. That's got to be scary as all get out.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and we pride ourselves in sharing what the child wants and feels like is best for them. You know, sometimes there are differences in terms of where the child should be placed, and especially the older children, they have strong feelings about that, and those they need to have a voice, and we do that on their behalf, and so we're very proud about being able to share what they would like to see happen in their lives. Sometimes it may be for the best, and sometimes it's not, but their voice is presented on their behalf, and that's important.
Okay. Megha, talk about how people can help out here, again, from the support angle. And we'll get into, you know, who would be a good volunteer to add to this 320 that we already have in the Second Judicial Circuit. But I'm listening right now. I'm thinking, boy, that sounds like a good program. I'd really like to help out. So what's next?
Well, you know, I've seen it from both sides, right? So being a part of the actual board itself and the nonprofit, being a part of trying to raise funds so that the children will always have somewhere that they can go from the guardian ad litem to be funded for, and just like Deborah shared, just having a bed for that child while we're out here, you know, worrying about who should be doing what, that child is sleeping on the floor. And so that we can continue to raise funds that child will be taken care of. So that's the biggest piece that I like sharing from my perspective is getting the word out, because I think knowledge, obviously we say often knowledge is power, but it's very disappointing when you just don't know exactly what's going on. So if there are other, you know, community supporters out there, businesses that's very interested in, just start out by helping us get the word out. You know, if you can get there. And I think it'll take you just like it took me, as the more knowledge you get from guardian ad litem and learning, your heart will get heavy. And I assure you, you will try to find another way to get involved, be it join our huge fundraisers like the one we have coming up. And we have others throughout the year. But if you can just start there, you know, if you're in a business somewhere sitting today thinking about what can you do? You know, just pick up the phone and just say, what can I do? Just start helping us get the word out about these children that are sitting somewhere and just need help, and they need someone to speak up for them. And that's what we're doing. And from my perspective of Starbucks, we just want to help get the word out. And, you know, there's other things that we do that are real small, but anything is good than nothing. So.
Well, Christine Lamont, beyond the massive coordination of the upcoming fundraiser for cupcakes and all that on Saturday, April 16th, what does guardian ad litem mean to you personally?
Well, I am a guardian, first off. That's how I started. Having the opportunity to work on behalf of a child. And I think one of the things, I guess this will be my fourth year, I think, in the program, something like that, of and I've been on one of those cases that Reed mentioned that's contentious. But the teamwork and the commitment involved, I mean, that's hands, you know, hats off to Deborah. That staff at the Guardian Ad Litem office is so wonderful, and they're so dedicated. And sometimes the things you, as a guardian, that you see can create a, like an emotional response. And the staff is very good about, because you can sit with them and then you work it, you work out, you work through the emotion to try and make sure that we always remain focused on child's best interests. And I've had the opportunity to see some really nice endings and to know, like, one child, my very first child, I know the case manager at DCF was saying later on after we had left the case that the girl ended up, you know, going back to her family and things were going very well. She'd worked through her problems. And so, you know, that's just – that's very satisfying to make that difference, you know, because children are – they're the seed corn for our society. And I hate to see kids that are missing out on opportunities, on the safety and security of a family, and for them to know somebody cares about them. You know, we all want that one person. And if a kid's in the system through abuse or neglect, they may not think that they have that person. And so if we can be that person even for a little while, and I know often even after cases are resolved, people stay in touch with their – what we call, you know, in quotes, their, our children. And so we do stay in touch. And that's nice. It's trying to make – making the difference in the life of a child, whether the child is related to you by blood or not – it's a very special thing, and you can do it. It's not it doesn't have to be this humongous, overwhelming effort. It's just the little things one does throughout a day or throughout a week or throughout a month can make a very big difference, and it sticks with a child in their memory that, you know, somebody somewhere cared about me, some program cared about me.
Okay, just that personal contact. But Deborah Moore, it sounds like Christine Lamont is a good template for what makes a guardian ad litem volunteer effective and compassionate and all those things. But I can hear some folks saying, oh, gee, I don't have the legal background. I would be mm-hmm. terrified to get in there and try to advocate on behalf of a child. I don't know the ins and outs of the court system. I would be a horrible volunteer. True?
Mm-hmm. No, and we do have individuals who ask about that, and our guardian ad litem volunteers come from all walks of life. Sometimes they do have the legal background. I was talking about recruiting attorneys, but it's not necessary. And we provide the training and support from our staff and our teams. We have attorneys that work with us, and they provide that legal best interest representation. But it really does mainly require someone to be willing to, I always say, commit 200%, because the children deserve that. But they do not need to have a legal background. No.
We'll get into that a little bit more on the other side of the break. Rapidly upcoming here in Perspectives, the Guardian Ad Litem Program in North Florida's 2nd Judicial Circuit is what we're talking about. Your calls and emails, too, and we'll return. The Guardian Ad Litem Program, what we're talking about here on Perspectives this morning with Christine Lamont, Chair of Cupcakes and Cookies for Kids Fundraiser, Saturday, April 16th at the DOT Auditorium right next door to Cascades Park. Omega Wynn, President of Child Advocates 2, which is the primary support mechanism outside of public funding for the Guardian Ad Litem Program, and Circuit Director of said program, Deborah Moore. Let's talk about that. First Beginnings Program, it's called, Deborah?
Yes.
That you guys have?
I'm very proud of this program because it's something that this project is meeting an unmet need that has been around for quite some time. And a group of Guardian Ad Litem advocates who just really feel very strongly about meeting the needs of older youth who move out on their own from foster care came to me, and we meet on a regular basis. And we kept having and hearing about situations where older youth would move into their apartment. They'd been in foster care for some time, sometimes for years, and moved out on their own. And of course, they don't have the family support. They don't have the connections to ensure that they have help going into their first apartment with a bed and with the kitchen supplies they need and the things for their bedrooms. And most of the time they're moving into an unfurnished apartment and they're furthering their education and they may be working, but they don't have those items to get them started in their first place. And so we decided that we were going to We were going to fix that. We were going to make sure that every youth that leaves, and it's not a whole large number every month. It might only be one older youth that's moving out on their own and leaving their foster home or their group home. And so the child advocates, too, said, yes, that's absolutely a project we'd like to support. We started reaching out to the different community supporters like Killarney United Methodist Church. And before we knew it, this past year, the program has really blossomed, and we're just so proud of it. We've helped at least 10 older youth who have moved into an apartment with absolutely nothing in that apartment and made sure they had pots and pans, made sure that, of course, number one, they have a bed to sleep in. But we have folks who call me, and they have very nice furniture items, and now we have a place to store them. And so we can get them the nightstands and the coffee tables and the, like I said, the pots and pans and dishes and all of that to help them. And one older youth recently told me, said, you know, Miss Deborah, I knew I was going to have some things, but I had no idea. As she was going through all of the things in the storage unit and so happy, she said, now I'm going to have a home. And that's what it's all about, is just helping them to feel like we want you to be successful. We want you to be happy and proud of where you are. And she said, I can even have people come over now and see me because I have a place for them to sit. So, you know, it's been really very rewarding to have that. It's been a challenge to keep everything organized and, you know, keep that going and make the arrangements to have things delivered. And but if there are listeners in the community that, you know, have some special items that they don't need anymore that are in good condition, I'm very picky, Tom, about it. I want to make sure that the doors have all the handles and that they are, the items look about as brand new as possible. And we love brand new items too. And we have groups who collect items brand new for us as their community projects, new towels and new shower curtains and all those things that you think of, you know, when you've moved into an apartment, you've needed trash cans. And, you know, it's just so many things that are very costly for them. And so it's been great. And the Beyond the Basics is the other project that the Child Advocates 2 has embraced. And, you know, normalcy is very important for our youth who are in foster care. And there aren't funds available to pay for things like school pictures or if they want to join an extracurricular activity and there are fees associated with it. And there are many fees with school activities. And the funds that they raise for us help us pay for those things for the children so they're not left out and that they can participate and, you know, they can benefit from that experience with their peers. You know, we purchase a lot of clothes. We purchase school clothes all the time or clothes for the change of the season. But the Beyond the Basics is just what it says. We help them have the school supplies, but it goes beyond that to all those things that are critical to a positive school experience.
Megha, I know that you probably have heard a just ton of great stories from this program. Any that stick out in your mind, think, oh, I remember this kid and what the Guardian Ad Litem program did for him or her?
Yes, I actually, you know, got a chance to get certified myself and was given a case where it started out being, you know, a very unfortunate case where there was a position where children was living in a tough situation. And, you know, as that case went on and getting to go to the home and meeting the grandparents and the aunts and just keeping that objectivity and just making sure that the children had the basic needs. And by the time that case finished, the children were in a different home and they were living fruitful lives. And yes, I did get to see one start from an unfortunate look. And then by the end of it, it's good to see that our system works and those children are in a very good place right now. Back with the parents and grandmother still gets to see them, and so that aunt. So, but to go see, put your eyes on that. It's so rewarding, and I just, you know, that's not about Starbucks. That's about the children, right? And that was just so rewarding to see that case come from one place and get to another. So,
I mean,
absolutely,
potentially, you're saving a life.
Yes, and you just. And I repeat, you just don't know what you don't know till you see it. And to be a part of that, and I tell Deborah sometime, you're going to have to kick me out of this program because and then I'll bring back a little metaphor from Starbucks. You know, we make one cup of coffee at a time. And I always tell Deborah, if we can just save one kid at a time, it'll just make a difference in the state of Florida. And that's what we do. So, and there's so many organizations out there that do help us. So we want to say thank you to them as well. But we also continue to invite more.
Yeah. How many kids did you serve last year in the circuit, Deborah?
Over 700. We currently have 460 children, and that's in the 6-county area. The majority of our cases are here in Leon County, of course. But as you mentioned, we go as far as Franklin County, and then in the other direction, we go to Liberty County, and that's our circuit.
Yeah, and you said training coming up at Sop Choppy in May, particularly needing volunteers in Wakulla and Franklin counties now.
Yes, but we always have training. We hold that in our main office in the court annex here in Tallahassee, and we have training every other month here locally. So there's definitely that option, as you mentioned, in Sop Choppy in May. But we start another one here locally in April, the beginning of next month. So if individuals are interested, I just encourage you to go to our wonderful website. Our webmaster is part of our nonprofit board, our Child Advocacy Board, and he's absolutely great. Our website is probably, I feel like, one of the best in the state. And there's lots of information about how to become involved as a guardian ad litem. He's made it so that individuals can complete the volunteer application online now, and it'll get sent directly to our volunteer recruiter. We meet with everyone individually and just make sure it's a good fit, talk about the responsibilities. We started on that earlier, but we want to make sure individuals can participate in the court hearings during the day, that they can visit the children very regularly in their home. They can submit court reports for us, but we say about 10 to 12 hours a month. But if they would just like to call and just chat and ask questions, we'd love that too and see if we can find a fit for everybody. But I can give the website address.
Certainly. Yeah.
www.gal2.org. And my phone number I'm happy to give is 850-606-1218. And our recruiter's number is 850-606-1218. 1213.
For those folks who might be concerned, is there a degree of vetting? Anyone who works with kids nowadays, mm-hmm. of course, you've got to make sure that
yes.
you know the kids are going to be safe.
Yes.
So
thank you for mentioning that. It's an important part of it. Of course, it's critical that we do background checks. We ask for references, and we do have the volunteer interview and make sure that what we know makes a quality advocate, that the individual is able to provide the time and the energy that this response. It is. It's a very serious responsibility, and we have lots of support from, as Christine said, we have probably the best team in the state, I feel like, to provide support for our guardian ad litem advocates. But we just want to make sure it's a good fit, and we are anxious to talk with anyone that's ready.
All right. Well, we want to talk to some of the folks also who are making your upcoming event possible too, Christine. So let's talk about some of those who have gotten behind this whole huge cupcakes and cookies for kids fundraiser that you got coming up on April 16th.
Well, we've been very fortunate so far. A number of people have started with us and stayed, but let's see. We have Track Engineering, and they're big just Child Advocates II coordinators, Ackerman Law Firm. They're always there for pretty much all kinds of events that we do, you know, Christmas giving and things such as that. Law Red, Cronin Monroe, Starbucks, of course, Tallahassee State Bank. They've been one of our sponsors for this event from the beginning, Capital City Bank. We're always looking for more. And we do have individuals and families who have been sponsors. That's one thing, again, where I say, if you are a club, sign up to be a sponsor. And that's fine. So they can do that via the website. We do that. You can buy tickets, enter the competition, or you still have a chance to become a sponsor. But we're always looking to grow each year, add a few more every time and come out and enjoy. And then we also have people who've donated prizes. Hopkins, Four Rivers Smokehouse has done that, Barnaby's, and Wingstop. Wingstop has always given us prizes, and Nukes as well, I think, this year. So we have nice prizes for, you know, some of those who win at the different levels kind of thing. And so it makes it kind of fun.
Since Deborah mentioned the website, I noticed when I was on this morning that you got a lot of information about the fundraiser on there, too.
I do. So, yeah. It would be basically, Sam, it's www.gal2.org/cupcakes. So that'll take you right there.
Can't forget that. You know, while we were talking throughout all this morning, I kept thinking over the many, many, many years that everyone has heard these, you know, horror stories about terrible neglect and abuse when it comes to foster kids, even some little children dying in foster care and all. And here you have a substantive and a very successful program in trying to intervene to get ahead of these tragedies, to keep them from happening. Not all, of course. You know, life isn't like that. But if there was more investment of not just resources of money, but also of time and compassion and caring, how many more lives could be saved through this? Deborah, what do you think?
You're absolutely right. I was preparing for a presentation a couple of weeks ago, and I was asked, why I've continued to be involved and what's motivated me to do that. And I just what you said is, I will never not feel my heavy heart every time I read the circumstances that a child's been through and why we're getting involved. It's really the abuse and neglect that keeps me going, because it just It is just so incredible what these children go through and what they have endured. It's just the worst of the worst circumstances. And that's really what keeps all of us going. That's why every one of us works very hard every day with the help of our wonderful guardians to make things better. Whatever we can do, whether it's purchasing the wrestling shoes for a young man who has told his guardian ad litem he wants to participate in wrestling, or it's standing up in court and really fighting for permanency for a child. The whole scope of it is all what we do, and we want to just try going forward to remedy what's happened in their life and make it better.
You never know exactly what you have done. Yeah, you were saying it too, Omega, that, you know, you see these good outcomes. You hope all of them are good. You know,
right.
You pray that they're all good. But then you see them and you think, wow, it made a difference.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So, well, one more plug here that we got to give for Saturday, April 16th. Big doings in conjunction, although not directly related. But, hey, it's going to be a fun-filled weekend with all the art in the park as part of the Chain of Parks Lemoyne Art Celebration. And when the sugar level runs low and you want to kind of get the energy back up again, just slip down to DOT Auditorium. Right, Christine?
That's correct, yes.
Uh-huh. Okay, and that'll be from 1:30 until 3:30. The Cupcakes Cookies for Kids fundraiser on behalf of the folks at the Guardian Ad Litem for the Second Judicial Circuit. And go ahead, Deborah.
And I just wanted to make sure that we are all so excited that the governor signed the Child's Best Hope Act yesterday. And just want to share with the listeners about that we're so proud that we were part of making that happen, and that's such an important law that's come into effect, and we are so grateful for Senator Nancy Dieter and Representative Janet Atkins for championing that bill. And it's allowing judges to base decisions on the adoption intervention for children at the end of the cases when parental rights have been terminated solely on the child's best interest standard. And that's so important, because previously a parent, even if it had committed egregious abuse, could make the recommendation about where a child should be placed and their permanent home. And so now this is a huge step in being able going forward to just base that and allowing the judges to make that decision solely on child's best interest. So we're so proud, so excited about that, and just wanted to share that with listeners.
The principal in the best interest of the child is now officially part of the law of the state of Florida.
Yes, thank you.
Amazing. Deborah Moore, Circuit Director of the Guardian Ad Litem Program for the Second Judicial Circuit, which is Franklin, Jefferson, Leon, Liberty, and McCulloch Counties. Omega Wynn, President of Child Advocates, too. And please give a personal thank you to my favorite Starbucks barista, Lawrence, down there at Governor Square, who always knows exactly what I take in my coffee.
Absolutely.
And Christine Lamont, Chair of Cupcakes and Cookies for Kids Fundraiser, coming up Saturday, April 16th, 1:30 to 3:30. At the Department of Transportation Auditorium in Cascades Park. I have to come by and
please
check
do.
It out.
Uh-huh.
Have a cupcake.
Maybe even a cookie. Yeah. We shall see what happens.
They're delicious. It's amazing how many good bakers we have in this community.
Well, folks, thank you all for coming on Perspectives today and talking about the Guardian Ad Litem program. All the best for continued success and saving those young lives that are just so precious. Thanks,
thank
guys.
You so much.
Thank you so. Perspectives produced by WFSU-FM in Tallahassee. Technical assistance today by Sawyer Vanderwerf back there on the board with Lydell Rawls on the phones and email. And I'm Tom Flanagan. Next week on Perspectives, autism and what resources are available in the Capital Region for those on the spectrum and the folks who care for them. That's all coming up. Up next week on Perspectives, we'll talk more then.
Copies of Perspectives are available by calling 1-800-829-8809. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcast. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.